Good morning. And welcome all during this Easter season of celebration as we celebrate the joy of the resurrection. I'd like to share a story of a resurrected life through Jesus. This has haunted me for over 50 years now. It doesn't get any easier. In 1972, I was in the United States Navy, and I was stationed on a very large gunship off the coast of Vietnam. At night, we would bombard the coast of North Vietnam, all the way up into Haiphong Harbor and back down. We basically stayed stationed off of the demilitarized zone near Quang Tri City. The daytime would patrol that southern coast. It was kind of like a John Wayne Navy movie. It really wasn't real. It was just a bunch of noise and rumbling. And then one day, a bright sunny day, we were really close to the beach, churning up sand. We were so close to the beach. And we took mortar fire. And they actually came on top of the sand dune and started firing mortars at us. And we turned the guns, and we returned fire. And we watched them as they were destroyed. And we all cheered, because we thought it was great. We beat them. But then I started wondering to myself, how can I be laughing at death and destruction? It's not natural. So I pondered that for a while, till a couple of weeks later. On the night of October 1st, we were on a firing run over the city of Quang Tri. And the guns, they were large 8-inch guns, similar to a battleship. You always got that noise. You're used to it. You're used to the ship moving a little bit and the rumbling. But all of a sudden, it was this, pardon my language, but this hellacious noise that wasn't normal. Something was wrong. Come to find out, it was an explosion in turret 2. And in a blink of an eye, there were 19 fellow sailors, most of them kids like I was, dead. I began to wonder if there was a God that cared. And it was kind of downhill from there for me for quite a few years. And then 1996, you've heard that date from me before, I walked into the church that we used to have. And I was like Thomas. I doubted if there actually was a Jesus Christ. Until that day, I felt his hand reach down and touch me, his nail-scarred hand. And he started to resurrect my life. He pulled me back between the guardrails of life. It's the guardrails of life. Well, what is a guardrail? The dictionary definition says it's a system designed to keep vehicles from straying into dangerous or off-limits areas. They direct us in the right direction and protect us from danger. I see the light. The Bible and our church community, those are two of our guardrails of life. They're a buffer between God's way and our own way. They can help keep us from our tendencies towards sin, such as pridefulness, gluttony, lust, greed, envy, and hate. Another guardrail of life is knowing God is a God of forgiveness and new beginnings. There's no sin that cannot be forgiven. In Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14 in the NLT, it says, "You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult. Only a few ever find it." This is why we need those life's guardrails. I don't know about you, but I need them still to this day. But have you ever noticed when you're going down the road and you see those guardrails, a lot of times there's a gap between them, an open gap, and then it starts over? That gap is where God can reach through and pull you back into the guardrails of life and on the path to everlasting life. In Romans 7, 22 through 25, in the NLT version, it says, "I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God the answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord." God wants us to serve others. Our responsibility is to serve Christ by serving others. You've all heard of the word ego. Well, I found two acronyms for that word. The first one is edging God out, and the second is exalting God only. Our egos seem to get out of control due to excessive pride or fear of failure. We think we don't need anything or anyone. We can follow our own path through life. So we tend to edge out God and do it our own way. But if we use God's word as our guardrail for life, we can have a good ego and exalt God only. We need to remember that God sent his only Son to live among us and show us the way to life everlasting. John 1:14 says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." We must always remember whose we are and who we are. Whose we are? We're God's. We're not living for ourselves. We're living to please God. Who we are? We're God's handiwork, created to do good works. The power of the church is not just 1 hour a week. The power of the church unleashed into the community and the world is the power of the church, not just inside these doors. We need to take this church out into our community and build a community of love and trust. In this topsy-turvy world of ours, we live today where we all need to pull together and strive for peace. We're all leaders in one form or another. And in order to be effective leaders, we need to be good role models and build trust. The greatest leadership role model ever is Jesus Christ. I'd like to read an excerpt from a book that we use in one of our lay speakers training courses. It's called Lead Like Jesus. It's co-authored by Ken Blanchard, Phil Hodges, and Phyllis Hendry. This may give us all some idea where we need to be leaders in life. Print is small, so give me a break. Jesus spent 3 years building a culture of trust with his disciples, including Peter. So when this bold and impulsive follower started to drown when he stepped out of the boat, he called out to Jesus for help. In our life role relationships, trust is the stream by which value, vulnerability, caring, commitment, and grace flows between parents and children, husbands and wives, brothers and sisters, friends and fellow citizens. Trust is extended first by loving hearts committed to serve and support one another. And trust grows with promises kept, encouragement and appreciation expressed, support and acceptance offered, repentance and apologies received, and reconciliation and restoration established. Yet the stream of trust has a fragile ecological balance. Once it is polluted, it will take time and effort to restore it. The always present power to restore intimacy and broken trust is love. Without love, we are nothing and we gain nothing. Jesus can resurrect anyone's life if they just ask and follow. In Daniel 9, verse 9, the Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him. All of us in this world need to lead like Jesus. Love can build trust and gain real, lasting peace. Not only peace in this world, but peace in our own families, in our own communities. Amen.